From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, presenting a series of studies on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, This Body Fashioned Anew. The text is Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body? Often when we are racked with pain and unable to think or worship, we feel that this indeed is the body of our humiliation. And when we are tempted by the passions which rise from the flesh, we do not think the word vile at all too vigorous a translation. Our bodies humble us, and that is about the best thing they do for us. Oh, that we were duly lowly, because our bodies ally us with animals, and even link us with the dust. But our Savior, the Lord Jesus, shall change all this. We shall be fashioned like His own body of glory. This will take place in all who believe in Jesus. By faith, their souls have been transformed, and their bodies will undergo such a renewal as shall fit them for their regenerated spirits. How soon this grand transformation will happen, we cannot tell. But the thought of it should help us to bear the trials of today and all the woes of the flesh. In a little while, we shall be as Jesus now is. No more aching brows. No more swollen limbs, no more dim eyes, no more fainting hearts. The old man shall be no more a bundle of infirmities, nor the sick man a mass of agony. Like unto His glorious body. What an expression! Even our flesh shall rest in hope of such a resurrection. Down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. On today's broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns will continue his series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit as he commences a message entitled, The Fellowship of the Spirit. The texts are found in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, and Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. In expounding these passages, Dr. Cairns first seeks to define the term fellowship by linking it to three English words, participation, partnership, and pleasure. As Dr. Cairns will show, believers in Jesus Christ participate in the benefits of the Spirit's work. Now, to begin this message, the fellowship of the Spirit, here is Dr. Cairns.
We're turning this morning to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, and chapter 13, the final chapter. We're reading just the last verse of the chapter, and also the epistle to the Philippians, chapter 2. And we read the first two verses there. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind. Both these verses I want to use as our text this morning, at least in part, as we continue with the studies in the person and work of the Holy Spirit of God. The 2 Corinthians 13 and 14 is a great Trinitarian formula. You will notice that it names three persons: the Lord Jesus Christ, God, and the Holy Ghost. And with the three persons, it names three gifts. We have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the love of God. And we have the communion, or the fellowship, of the Holy Ghost. It's an important text for many reasons. I suppose the basic one is that it slays forever every form of Unitarianism. And had I time this morning, I'd be very happy to take the three variants of Unitarianism and show how this text slays each one of them in turn. Here we have three persons, and the very conjunction of their names and the conjunction of the blessings that they give in one apostolic benediction goes a long way to showing the doctrine of one God existing eternally in three persons in perfect equality. Now, the text does not mean to suggest that each one of these gifts is exclusive to the person whose name is attached to it. In other words, we are not to think that grace is exclusive to Christ, that love is exclusive to the Father, and that fellowship is exclusive to the Spirit. The Godhead cannot be divided like that. God is one and indivisible, in a perfect unity. Thus, grace and love and fellowship in the Bible are attributed to all three persons of the Godhead in various places. But Paul has a very specific purpose in how he sets forth the three persons of the Godhead and the gift beside each one of them. His purpose first is to show us how much we need to have it preached today that all grace flows to us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and solely on His merit. The great heart of the gospel as revealed in the New Testament scriptures in all its fullness, is that there is no merit save the merit of Christ. There is no person at no place where the grace of God can be found save in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul speaks peculiarly of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. His purpose, furthermore, is to show that this grace is sovereign and has its source solely in the pure love of God. God, out of the mere good pleasure of His will, God, out of the goodness of His own heart, unmoved by any merit in the creature, unmoved by any effort of the creature, sovereignly provided Christ as the Savior and the sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. Then His purpose is to show that this grace is actually applied to us by the Holy Spirit of God, who brings us into a vital fellowship with God. So today I want us, in looking at this text, while admitting the tremendous importance of the first two parts of the text, I want us to think upon the fellowship or the communion of the Spirit. Now, the phrase, the fellowship, and it's the same word in 2 Corinthians 13 and 14 and Philippians 2 verse 1. What's translated communion in the first is translated fellowship in the second. Same word completely. This phrase, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost or of the Spirit, only occurs twice in these two verses that I have read. But though the references are few, the truth that they convey is very important. And it's appropriate just at this stage that we should consider this fellowship of the Spirit. And we have looked quite extensively at His person and at His work. In the weeks to come, in the will of God, I want to wind up these studies by looking at what the Bible teaches concerning sins that are committed against the Holy Ghost. And so we're just, as it were, at a transition stage in the studies in the person and work of the Spirit. And I think that it is appropriate, therefore, that we should take this subject, which I think will, on the one hand, be a summary and a good wrapping up, as it were, of all that we have said so far, and I trust will be a guide into the studies that are yet to come. The fellowship of the Spirit. First of all, I want us to consider the meaning of that phrase, the fellowship of the Spirit. It's easy to read, but like many things that we have seen in the studies connected with the Holy Ghost, while they're easy to read, we skip over them and we don't always understand what they convey. The word that's translated fellowship or communion is a very significant one. I'm not going to take your time going through a lot of references to do a word study and baffle you with terms. But let me say that if you study carefully this word, there are three English words that I think combine to give us the fullness of its meaning. The word participation, the word partnership, and the word pleasure. Now let's take these in order. When we're talking about the meaning of the fellowship of the Spirit, we are talking first of all about participation in the benefits of the Spirit's work. The meaning of this Greek word for fellowship is shown to us in a couple of very familiar scriptures. If you turn back with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23 and verse 30, you'll find the same root word, a slightly different form of the word, but it's the very same root word. And here the Lord Jesus is upbraiding the Pharisees. And he's saying, you say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. We would not have been partakers with them. That is the word that we're thinking of in this word fellowship, partakers. It comes up again, for example, in an even more famous text in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part in the same. We are partakers of flesh and blood. We participate in all that is conveyed by that term flesh and blood. We participate in humanity. We are partakers of it. Now that is the meaning of the word. Let me give you one more reference to show you the force of this word before we start applying it to our text. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 17, we have this statement. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. And so he goes on. Notice this. The branch partakes of the root and the fatness of the tree. The branch participates in all the life of the tree. Now that is the meaning of the word that we're dealing with this morning, the fellowship of the Spirit. We have a participation in the benefits of the Holy Ghost and His work. Now what does that mean? It means first and foremost, we have received from the Holy Ghost the benefit of His saving work. Over the weeks and months that have gone into eternity, we have studied one by one these saving actions of God the Holy Spirit as He applies Christ and His redemption to the heart. We have participated in the work of the Holy Ghost. By that I mean we have received the benefit. My friend, we want to stop there this morning. We say these things. We roll them off the end of our tongues as trite phrases. But when you stop to let it sink in, I, a poor, guilty, wretched worm of the dust, I, a sinner within a heartbeat of hell, I, a sinner who had built up every merit to go to hell, who earned the just displeasure of God, I have received the grace of the Holy Ghost. I have received His gracious work in regeneration. He has quickened me and brought me to the new birth in Jesus Christ. He has given light instead of darkness. He has given life instead of death. He has brought me out of the tomb of sin into the glorious life and liberty that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have participated in His grace, for I have received regeneration. I have received sanctifying grace. What about His grace in revealing Christ? Some time ago I preached a message from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 on the most important work, the central work of the Holy Spirit of God. What is it? It is revealing Christ to the soul. It is making us see the things that are freely given to us by God in Jesus Christ. It is making us understand the union that we have with Jesus, so that God cannot treat with Christ apart from us, nor can He treat with us in isolation from Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. What a joy when the Holy Spirit came and opened our sin-darkened eyes to behold the Lamb of God. What a day it was when the Holy Spirit, who commanded What a day it was when he showed us Christ. You know, a preacher could stand from now until the judgment day saying, "Behold the Lamb of God." You and I would have been as blind as the proverbial bat, and we would never have seen Christ had not the Holy Spirit come and imparted the sight to see the light.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.